Amen. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And I say this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
And we are to rejoice and be glad. This is a day, hallelujah, that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. And while we're in Georgia, Bishop Guthrie said, many people don't understand the significance of when the Lord said, this is a day. And he went down through the generational days, and he explained how that in each day, each generational day is a sum of 7,000 years. And when he said, the Lord said, this is a day, he's talking about the day that he made man, which was a 6 days. So when he said, this is a day that the Lord has made,
yeah.
Hallelujah, it's not this day, but it's a generational year and a generational day. That we need to bless the Lord for. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Last week, we went over the blessings of good communication and unity, and we went over the dangers of a lack of communication or a miscommunication. Amen. So tonight, we're going to continue on that train of thought. And we're going to bring it to you from a different way. How many know that communication can be verbal and nonverbal?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Communication can be verbal and nonverbal.
That's right.
And many times in church, we get caught up in, I can say anything. Amen. But how many know that body language is important?
That's
right. Amen. I'm going to read this. I don't want y'all to sit up all night. Then we'll break it down a little further. Amen. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verses 4, and we'll conclude by reading verse 9 together. All we'll read all verses 4 through 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Once again, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. What kind of wisdom?
Man's
wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the
wisdom of man.
So we said man's wisdom, and then we're dealing with your faith. And in the what?
Wisdom
of man. But in the
power
of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the presence of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So we heard first about the wisdom of man, then we heard about the wisdom of who?
God.
Amen. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. But had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what is it? Written. Hallelujah.
Yes.
When it's written, there's no doubt. There's no argument. Amen. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word, and the church said the word of the Lord. Amen. We're dealing with different types of communication. Amen. Last week, we went over the fact that you can have good communication and unity, which is a blessing. And then you can have bad communication, miscommunication, which adds to division, which is a danger or could be a curse. Well, tonight, we want to focus on the wisdom of God in having good communication. And if the wisdom of God is good communication, we read there's another wisdom, which is the wisdom of who?
Man.
So that would represent bad communication, and we're going to go into it a little further when we go into the book of Genesis. Amen. So communication can be verbal or nonverbal. Nonverbal communication would be what they consider body language. And body language is so important that the psychologists have done a whole group study for years on body language. How do I know? Because when I was in school, I studied. Amen. I studied B.F. Skinner, Charles Darwin, and David Walden, and who's the other one? Sigmund Freud. All of them talking about body language. Amen. And I had to write when I was at, this started in high school. In high school, I didn't like reading too many books. You know, so when I would do a report, I kind of like skim through that, skim through a little this, and skim a little that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all are also trust perfect studious students, so I skim a little this, and I skim a little that, and I put my report together. Well, I had to do a report on Skinner. No, this was on Walden. Walden wrote two species, Walden 1 and Walden 2. I'm not going to get into all of that, but it dealt with body language. And I had a psychologist who was a friend of a friend of mine who was working with me. And you know, we were doing the report, and he says, eventually he said, you are one lazy guy. I said, nobody ever called me lazy. Why am I lazy? He said, man, you don't like to read. I said, I do like to read. He said, no, you don't. At that time, I had never read a book, no novel all the way through. You know, I hit and skip and miss around even through my grades, but I knew how to manipulate the system to do well. This guy made me so mad, called me lazy, and then he said, you're lazy and you're irresponsible with your schoolwork. I'm like, what? Nobody ever called me. I'm an honor student. I have 88 hours in high school. What do you mean I'm lazy and irresponsible and not? And he made me so mad, I read every book I could find. I said, oh, Mr. Psychologist. I said, you're so smart. I'm going to see how smart you really are. Amen. So this man, you know, he told me I'm irresponsible and lazy and didn't like to do schoolwork. So I started reading, and all the stuff we were dealing with was body language. Because body language, your body language says more most times than your speech. Amen. If you're talking to someone and they're turning their head and walking away from you, they're saying what? I don't want to be bothered. Amen. Amen. If your spouse is speaking to the spouse, and the whole time you're speaking to them, they're looking the other way and looking in the sky, they're saying what? Right? That's called body language. That sends a message. Amen. So we studied body language to the point that I started reading him, and he started reading me, and then he started despising me because I was playing the body language game on him. But what I'm saying, I said all that to say not something about me because I'm still a nobody and a nothing. But what I'm saying is body language, the way you project, says a lot. In church and out of church. To the saints and to the visitors. Your approach, your demeanor says a lot. That is called communication. Amen. If every time I speak to you, I say, oh, praise the Lord, and I keep going, you say, after a while, you say, wow, that person obviously don't want to be bothered. Amen? Come on, y'all. We're talking about real church stuff now. I know we might be stepping on a couple of toes. Amen. But your body language means so much. And the devil, who's wise in his deceit, will use your body language to send a miscommunication. The devil will use your body language, not what you say, but your actual physical presentation to send a miscommunication. Amen. Let's go back to this quickly. It says, Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with what? You don't have to say a whole lot and sound so pretty. Amen. He said, we're not enticing many words of what? Man's wisdom. But in demonstration of
spirit
and power. I wonder tonight, hallelujah, do we have the spirit and the power in our lives and in our speech? Is our speech just a simple representation of man's wisdom? What does your speech say? Amen. When they listen to you, do they get God, the Spirit, and power? Or do they just get some enticing words? So enticing words, men, whether that your
faith
should not stand in the
wisdom
of man. The wisdom of man rivals the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man rivals the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man takes you away from God. The wisdom of God brings you to God. Once again, the wisdom of man takes you away from God and away from eternal life. But the wisdom of God will bring you back to God. Hallelujah. Do sometimes you feel like you're drifting away from God? Do you feel like there's a little strange wind or circumstances or events that are drifting you away from God? I love the Lord. I believe in God, but I'm not where I need to be in God. Amen. Then what the devil will do is he will get you to psychoanalyze your situation through man's wisdom, which is not God's wisdom. And man's wisdom, it could be better defined as Paul would write to Colossians. Can you go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8? Man's wisdom and in dealing with our situation can better be defined as philosophy. Philosophy is a love of wisdom, but it's not from a godly perspective. It's wisdom from man's perspective. It said, if the princes of this world had known whom the Lord was, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But they looked and they dealt with Jesus according to the wisdom of man, and they could not understand it. Amen. How can we want to be saved? How can we want to please God? And we're approaching the Almighty God through the wisdom of man. It will not work. We will not understand God. We cannot comprehend God because the things of God, the Bible said, they are spiritually discerned. So we're trying to get to God, but we're going through man's wisdom. It does not work. Amen. Verse 8 says, beware, which is a what? Warning. Amen. The wisdom of man rivals God to the point that God tells him to beware. Amen. Lest any man spoils you through philosophy. Now you say, well, how are you going to spoil you? This doesn't mean like just begging someone to leave them alone. Whenever the Israelites in the Old Testament will conquer a nation, or whenever someone will conquer a nation, they will do what? Spoil them. That means that they have overtaken you, and now you are captive to their will. So this spoil means that the enemy has you captive. And now he's plundering you, or robbing you, of what God has for you. So he said, now you have to beware lest any man spoil you through what? The man's wisdom. Through philosophy and what? Vain deceit after
the tradition of men.
Man's wisdom will never bring you to God. When you look at God through philosophy and try to understand God according to man, it will never make sense. Amen. Because the only way that we can approach God is through what? Faith. We can only approach God through faith. Once we get back into psychoanalyzing and trying to figure out God our way, it'll never make sense. So it says, after the what? Rudiments of the world. And just to show you, the philosophy is man's wisdom because it's not
after Christ.
So we're trying to philosophize God, and we cannot do it. Because when we approach God, we must approach God through man's, through God's wisdom and not man. Well, in the very beginning, if we go to Genesis chapter 3, in the very beginning, we're dealing with miscommunication. And we're dealing with man's wisdom in opposition to God's wisdom. You know you're in God's wisdom and every day you try to get closer to God. And you refuse to allow circumstances and whatever going on in your life to put up a roadblock or to distract you from God. That is God's wisdom. Man's wisdom is distractions. Things that hinder. Things that keep you from getting to God. Things that would keep you out of church. You know, how many of you remember the old song they used to sing way back in the 70s when we used to listen to WHAZ? Amen. Excuses?
Excuses.
You hear them? Now the devil, he will, if from the church, all the excuses for why we don't go to church. I'm tired. I'm this. I'm that. But you do everything else. Man's wisdom. Man's wisdom will justify your wrong and take you away from God. But God's wisdom, hallelujah, Lord, you've been too good. Yeah. Lord, you've been too kind. Lord, you made ways for me when I didn't deserve it. So what shall I do? I render unto God for all of his benefits unto me. The psalmist said, I'll take the cup of salvation. I wanted to learn how many really appreciate all that God has done.
Jesus.
How many appreciate, hallelujah, that God took me from a hellbound road, Lord, I didn't place my feet on a street called street. Now I'm on my way to heaven, and I heard somebody say, and I am so glad. Lord, when I look at God through the wisdom of God, I can't help. Go to Psalm 111, verse 10 first. The wisdom of God, I got to get to God. I have to honor God. I have to reverence God. Now in your private life, in your judging yourself, you know how much reverence you have for God. You know. Amen. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord. This fear means is an all-filled reverence for God. When you look at God, you're in awe. And Lord, when I look at you, I can't help but render unto you for all that you've done for me. It's an all-filled reverence for the Lord. He said, it's a what? Somebody said, I'm wise. Where is your reverence for God? Is it all-filled? Amen. When you look at your circumstances and your conditions, and the Bible says, as long as we're in this life, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So as long as you're in this life, you got problems. But the focus can't be on those problems. We got to take our eyes off the winds and the blowing around us, and we must still keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The wisdom of God will always bring you to God and to eternal life. The wisdom of man will take you away from God and cause you to philosophize God in opposition to Christ. When you begin to compare God and make up, and you can decide what is and what is not God, it's a dangerous position, brothers and sisters. A good understanding have all been that what? Do his. What kind of understanding? A good understanding. So for you to have wisdom, you have to have an all-filled reverence for God. For you have understanding, you must keep his commandments. Amen? That's the only way that you can show God that I love you. Amen. Because Jesus told them, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then my commandments will give you a good understanding. If life seems to have you to the point that you're more confused and direction? Are you keeping God's commandments?
Jesus.
Do you have an all-fear reverence for God? Are you seeing God through the eyes of philosophy and man's wisdom? Amen. It's very important. His praise endures forever. So now we're dealing once again with keeping God's commandments. We all fall short in some area. Lord, but it shouldn't be on a regular basis that we come up short. That's why our understanding is marred concerning the scriptures and the direction that God wants our life to go, because we refuse to keep his commandments, and because we don't keep his commandments, we have no reverence for God. We will do stuff contrary, and it doesn't even prick our conscience. Why? Because the reverence for God is not there. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2 first, then we'll go to Genesis. Because Genesis is going to hang in there for a little while. Amen? Because I would use the scripture to show you how the devil from the very beginning deceived Eve into embracing man's wisdom in opposition to God. First John chapter 2. And I forgot which verse. Hold on, let me look at it right quick. 1 John chapter 2. Why don't we start with verse 15? Verse 3, I think it is. Start with verse 3. Then we'll come to this. Once again, when we keep God's commandment, we have what kind of understanding?
Good understanding.
Good understanding. When we keep what? God's commandments, we have?
Good understanding.
When we don't keep God's commandment, we do not have?
Good understanding.
When we keep God's commandments, we have good communication. When we don't keep God's commandment, then we have poor. That means that if God is speaking, we cannot discern the voice of God because we don't have the proper communication. Verse 3 reads, hereby we do know that we know him if we, once again, hereby we do know that we. Now you can discern yourself. Do you know him? Well, how do I know if I know him? Do you?
Amen.
Amen. Do you keep his commandments? Verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. I know God. The scripture is not, it's not vague. It's not ambiguous. It's very clear. You know God, do you? If you say, I know God, and you do not keep his commandment, it says in plain and simple, you are a? It means you are under another influence. Amen? You are under a different wisdom. And who's the father of all liars? And we'll get back to him in a little while. That means your influence is not from God. When you refuse to submit to God's word and his commandments, your influence is not from God. And the
truth is not in
him. Why? Because you do not keep his commandments. But I know him. Hallelujah. Do you keep his commandments? If you say I know him and don't keep his commandments, you are. And the truth is not in him. Amen. Verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word in him verily is perfected. Amen. If we keep his word as commandment, the love of God is perfected. Amen. Sometimes we should just take a moment, a Selah, a pause, and look at our lives. I like what God says. He said, judge yourselves. Don't judge anybody else. Stop right there. Judge yourselves. Because if we would openly judge ourselves, we would have no need to be judged. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him all himself also so do what? Walk even. So you're in there, how are you walking? What are you projecting? When people see you, what do they see? If you're in him, you are to walk in him. People should be able to see and discern. That dropped out of verse 15. I should go to 14. Go to 14 first. Then we go to 15. Tonight we're dealing with what kind? What? Good communication as opposed to? Or miscommunication. It's really miscommunication. Because the devil is trying to wear us out. Trying to get us to see God through our own eyes. Trying to get us to see God's will for our lives through man's wisdom. And we don't realize every day that we look at it through man's wisdom and philosophy, we're getting further away from God. It's a gradual process. It's not something that happens at once. We're in a spiritual erosion. The things that used to count, they don't matter. And you know, when you first get saved, every time the church door opens, you're there. And you're there sometimes when it's not open. But the longer you're saved, and the longer you start philosophizing God and reasoning to God and understand, I miss church here, I miss church there. I pay my tithes here, and I pay my tithes there. Why? Because we do not love God enough to keep. Can I get some help? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, you're under another influence. And that influence is not God. Amen. I've written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you. Wait a minute. Once again, you knew him from what? The beginning. We're talking about God. I've written unto you young men because ye are
strong.
Well, how do we know you're strong? Because you have. Amen. It does what? Abide. You're strong. Not physically strong, but you are spiritually strong. How are you strong? Amen. I don't let anything, I don't care who or what, rob me from God's word being in me. And ye have overcome the wicked one. You're strong. You've overcome the wicked one. Now let's go to 15. He says, love not the world. It means the influences of the world. Man's wisdom. Philosophy. Don't love those things. If any man love the world, the influences. We have a choice tonight. In loving the world, we love man's wisdom. In loving God, we love God's wisdom. God's wisdom will always bring us to God. Even when others are wrong, we still come to God. When everybody else don't want to come, we still come to God. Now, man's wisdom will justify why we can't come to God. And then justifying it starts taking us. It's a gradual process. And then you see people that were with God all these years, and you look at them and say, what happened? The wrong influences. Amen? The love of the Father is not in him. 16. All right. I'll read it. For all that is in the world is the what? All that, this is the test. Are you in God? Are the influences from God? Are the influences from man's wisdom of the world? Man's wisdom represents the system of the world. God's wisdom represents God's system. Those are the only two systems, God's system or the world's system. Amen. For all that is in the world system is the lust of the flesh. Amen. As we went over on Sunday, lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure. Talking about gratifying the flesh. Amen. I believe last week we went over in Galatians chapter 5 and said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. But then it went on, drops down and said, make no provisions for the flesh. What are we trying to do? We're trying to stay free in Christ. Well, what's the first thing we do? Abstain from the lust of the flesh and
lust
of the eyes and the pride of life. He said, this is not of. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll start off with verse 1. We're going to find out how miscommunication originated with mankind. Amen. Originated with mankind. Miscommunication, a bad influence of the wisdom of man, of the wisdom of the world. Amen. Yep, yep. Don't leave me. I will feel like I'm talking to myself. Somebody said, I feel like I heard this guy say, I'm about to say, preach. teach, right? Amen. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, this is the beginning of the miscommunication. This is the beginning of poor communication. Miscommunication will have you hear something that God did not say. And when you hear and embrace something that God did not say, then you will act upon it. When you hear and you embrace it, then you will act upon it. He said, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Then is that what God said? Go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's see what God says. Now we see this is what? Miscommunication, because he's trying to get the dominance of the what? Influence. Amen? Verse 15. I think I'm about to hit this thing, huh? All right. It says, no, I want 15 first. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? Dress it and remember that. God said, now you're in the garden. I want you to dress it, but then I want you to set a watch upon it because God had put a tree in the middle of the garden that no one wants to touch. Amen? So he said, now, I want you to dress and keep it. Now, go back to verse 1. What did Satan say? Amen? Before we get to, go back to verse 1 for chapter 3. You know what? You stay there, because you're taking a little too long to navigate. Let me get that for you. Amen. Sometimes technology is a little slow. Amen? Let me get it for you. I stay in 3, you stay in 2. That way we can keep this ship moving. All right, 3:1 says, now the serpent was more subtle. Now this is what he said, yea, and God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now go to verse 16 of chapter 2. What did God say? Amen. He told him first, dress it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest. Miscommunication. See how he's twisting? Somebody said, what is he? Once again, this is looking funny. All right, I'm going to break it down for you. One more time. All right. I'm going to tell you what God says. But leave it here. This is what God says. And the Lord God commanded, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest. He said, you can eat of what? Every tree freely. All right. And then Satan says, God said that ye shall not eat every tree. Right? He's doing what? Twisting. It's what? Miscommunication. Well, why is he miscommunicating to get the advantage? Amen. You can go to verse. But of the tree. He told him that you can eat every tree in the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of thou shalt not eat of it. So God said, you can eat of every tree, but the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you should not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. All right, that's God's commandment. Amen. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. So the first thing the devil does is God to do what? Twist God's word. Amen. Now, God gave the commandment to who in verse 15?
Adam.
Right? Adam would be considered the head of the spiritual leadership. Amen? He would be the covering for Eve. The trick, the sleight of hand, the cunning the devil uses, is he always tries to get us outside of spiritual leadership to talk to us. Because I don't need to go to church. I don't need counsel. I can make these decisions by myself. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel there is safety. And without counsel, purposes are defeated. Why am I in this situation? As long as Eve was with Adam, the devil couldn't touch her. So what does he do? He waits till you're the most vulnerable when you're all by yourself. Then he starts playing in your mind to misrepresent what God really said. Verse 2 reads, that's not it, Genesis 3:2. You got the 2 right, but the rest of it is wrong. Now the serpent was, no, that's 1. 2, please. Oh, okay. All right. Verse 2 read, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, and neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Is that what God said? Amen. Is that what God said? He was supposed to dress it and keep it. In order to dress something, to nourish it, to take care of it, you have to touch it. But see how the miscommunication is beginning to make her see something that God did not say. Well, how did he do it? He had to separate Eve from spiritual leadership. He had to separate Eve from the spiritual covering. Now he's starting to play in her mind, and now she is confused about what God said. God never said you cannot touch it. He only told her not to eat of it. Amen? And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Amen. Well, this was a phenomenon in itself, because an animal is talking to her. Amen? That should have been the first sign, like, wait a minute. Something is here wrong. It wasn't the serpent, it was the devil. The devil will use extraordinary means to get your attention. And instead of you recognizing that this is not God and this is not normal, you will engage him. And as you engage him, he's misrepresented. He's twisting. He is bringing about a division, a confusion in your mind. Because you knew it wasn't normal, but you engaged it. Amen. How many times have abnormal things happened, and instead of us saying, well, this is not God, I know this is not God, we engage it. And then in engaging something that's not regular and not God, it begins to confuse us in our own lives. Amen. Amen. He said, but God doth know that in the day that ye thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. It was true, but this is written from the perspective of man's wisdom. Amen. Now, we don't believe in dispensationalism as it's taught by Darby, but the man and the first woman were in the dispensation of innocence. Amen. So as the devil is dealing with her, her conscience will not pick up on the wrong, because the dispensation of conscience did not start until after she ate. So she's innocent, dealing with the devil, just like we are in church. Innocent! But he would take that innocence and push it to the extreme to get you to compromise and could go against God. Her mind didn't bother her, her conscience didn't bother her, because sin had not yet entered into the world. Amen? So right now she's dealing with him one-on-one, her and the devil, but there was no conscience. Even though he was misguiding and misleading her, there was nothing to correct or change her, because the dispensation of conscience had not yet began. Amen? Yeah. So he said, when the woman saw, now this is one of the, this is how the devil is. How many times had the woman walked by this street? Right? She was in the garden. She's in the garden. She's seen this tree on a daily, day-to-day basis. The tree was just what she knew it to be. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then as she began to engage the misrepresentation and miscommunication of the devil, the same tree that she saw every day took on different shape. You know, you try to figure out how do people that grow up pedophiles, someone that grew up with people for all these years, how are they with them all these years and all of a sudden something happened? Because they engage their minds to the devil, and all of a sudden what was normal is not normal anymore. She had been passing the tree every, the tree was always the tree. It never represented anything other than what God had forbidden them not to eat of. But now, because she's engaged in someone who's twisting, beguiling, misrepresenting, and miscommunicating, she sees it differently. That's what miscommunication does. That's what listening to the wisdom of this world does. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Who's the god of this world? So he's using his influence. He's welding his influence to get her away from God. The same tree that she's seen for years. I don't know how long it was, I can't say years. Well, a period of time. I can't do the, somebody said, don't do the priest thing, don't make it up, I ain't gonna make it up. I was talking to somebody the other day, I was kind of shocked. I said, the Bible says this, I said, I don't know about the Bible says what they say today. I was shocked. I ain't gonna tell y'all what it is. I was like, huh? A priest, this is a preacher too. I said, this is what the Bible said. No, I want to know what it says today. Okay. I said, okay. It said, but that sign said that's the Old Testament. So I went to the New Testament. It's yeah. But what they say today? Okay. You know what? This is a dead issue. I'm finished. If the Old Testament don't mean nothing, the New Testament don't mean nothing, I don't know nothing. But that's how the devil is. He gets us to rationalize, to philosophize God. And then God becomes more of a theology, which is a study of God, than our personal Savior, which is living God. Amen. All of us can study and know God, but how many of us are really living this thing? Amen. The same tree she saw every day, because she's engaged in miscommunication, now takes on different light. Why? Listening to the wrong influence. The tree was, now all of a sudden she saw that the tree was good for food, and then it was pleasant to the food is, it was said, the lust of the flesh. Then it's good to the what? Pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And a tree needs to be desired to make one the pride of life. Now when you look at this wise, it's the Hebrew word sekel, S-A-K-E-L. When you look at this wise, you think we're talking about wisdom. But that's not what the devil was saying was wisdom. He said, this tree will make you prosperous and successful. That's what he meant. God's wisdom does not deal with prosperity or success according to the world system. Amen? That's not the wisdom that God meant. And in a few minutes, we'll go to Joshua chapter 1, and we'll show you what the sickle is. There's a difference. The devil was twisting. Now she's looking at wisdom, but it's not the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of this world, which teaches prosperity and success. Amen? The wisdom of this world teaches you prosperity and success. So because she didn't really understand, she wasn't used to dealing with someone so wise, she's thinking about wisdom from God's perspective, but the devil has twisted it. And he's talking about prosperity and success. Miscommunicating what God meant. Amen? So she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now when she ate, nothing happened because she did not have the commandment. And she was being deceived. Amen. But then Adam willingly ate. Well, why did he willingly eat? Because he that should have been the spiritual covenant leadership succumbed to the one that he was supposed to be guiding. In our lives, how many of us have succumbed to those that we have been supposed to be guiding and leading or showing the way because of a bad influence? Amen? And the eyes of them were both
open.
Both were open. When did they become open? After who ate? Because who received the commandment? And that's why the Bible, even in Timothy, said the woman was deceived, but the man was not deceived. The man fled out sin. Amen. But it all happened because of a miscommunication. That's why miscommunication is dangerous. Miscommunication always will make you act contrary to God, but then you will use philosophy to justify it according to man's wisdom. And that wisdom is taking you away from God. This death represented separation from God. Why? Because of a desire to be wise, but not the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of this world. That desire separated them from God. So it began to take them away from God. Not only did it separate, but when you go down a little further, it caused them to be cast out of the garden. And the Bible says that Christ is the second Adam, and Adam was the type of Christ. Why? Because Adam's job was to guard the tree of life. Amen. That was Adam's job. Don't let anybody come near it. Keep everything away from it. Jesus is guarding the tree of life. The only way for any of us to get to life is we got to go through the only way we can get to life is we got to go through Jesus. That's why Jesus was the second Adam. Adam was a living soul. And the first Adam, the second Adam was a quickening spirit. Amen? But they both had a sole responsibility to guard the tree of life. Adam failed. Thank God Jesus succeeded. Amen. And because of that success, we now have eternal life dwelling in us. Now let's close out in Joshua chapter 1. We're talking about proper communication. Amen. Proper communication. And let's go to verse 8. This is our last scripture that we'll go over tonight. What is influencing you? Amen. If you know God and don't keep his commandments, if you say you know God and you don't keep his commandments, the Bible says we are a what?
Liar.
And we abide not in the truth. Tonight is all about being saved. Not saved for me, not saved for anybody else. Salvation is a personal thing. Amen. Just think, the way you die is the way you will stay throughout eternity. There will be no changing. There will be no exchange. Amen. You won't be able to correct the wrongs in eternity. That's why the Bible says we ought to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That means with an all-filled reverence for God. When we have an all-filled reverence for God, then we know we have the wisdom of God, because it will bring us to God. Verse 8 reads, "This book of the law shall not don't let it depart out of thy mouth." Amen. How many of us really take time to read and study God's word? "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein." It's a continuous process. We work God's word and love of God can be an on and off thing. But he said you have to do it how often? Day and night. Amen. "That thou be observed to do according to..." How can you do all when you don't take time to study God's word? We don't take time to read God's word. We don't make it a part of our heart. We don't take it part of our mind. Then we make mistakes contrary to the word. But what's the problem? You aren't meditating on it. You aren't giving in. Amen. "Observe to do according to all that is written therein." Now this is how you have good success. Amen. By doing what? You got to keep it day in, day out. You got to meditate on it. Amen. It got to be in your heart. It got to be in your mind. It got to be in your mouth. Amen. I live God's word because I'm a living epistle. But when we don't live God's word, then we start making our decisions based on the wisdom of this world. And that wisdom will take you away from God. Nobody has to tell any of us. We know what our lives have been and what we've been and where we're going. We know what we do in our private times. We know how much God conscience we have. We know how much we compromise. That's a personal thing. Nobody has to tell you that. So as I examine my life, I'm trying to discern. Is my life governed by the wisdom of God? Or is my life governed by the wisdom of... There's no in-between. There's no in-between. I'm all God. I'm no God. You can't straddle a fence, because the Bible refers to that as lukewarm. And God said, once you start straddling in between the God, wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, God said, I will spew you out of my mouth. We got to make a choice and a decision. For then, when? After the words in your mouth, in your heart, in your mind, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have
good success.
Psalms chapter 1. Good success. Check it out. Who? Me. Examine myself. What wisdom controls me? What wisdom does... When I have to make a decision, what do I make it based on? I can't make it based on Oprah, Phil, Donahue, or Dr. Drew, and all the rest of them, because they don't know God. Amen. I know, I've messed with some of y'all now. I know y'all some Donahue, some Oprahs, and all that other stuff. I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all study Oprah. Oprah, seriously. New Age.
Tell us.
About gods, about dogs, gods, and this. I'm like, what? You know, study some of those people that are influencing you. I'm not bashing Oprah. I'm not bashing Black. Come there, so I'm making a stand for God. God didn't call us.
Speak the truth.
So, I don't care who it is. White man, yellow man, red man, Black man, this man, that man. His name for God is wrong. Amen. Amen.
Speak the truth, Elder. Come on.
But I'm just saying, too many influences that aren't of God. Too much wisdom, but it's not from God. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 reads, "Blessed is..." This is our acid test for how we please God. "Blessed is man that walketh not in the..." Are you being influenced by the ungodly? Counsel me then. Counsel Oprah. Sorry. Phil. Sorry. Dr. Drew. Sorry. And Dr. Whatever else. Is that where you get your counsel from?
Jesus.
The Bible. Come on, y'all, believe me.
Amen.
All right, all right. Who did I mess up? Tell me who I messed up on. I won't mention them. Still ungodly. Blessed is a man and woman not in the counsel of the There is no debate for me. Now, if you want to go you know, the serpent used to walk around upright. After he messed up, God said, you know, you curse. From this day forward, you're going to fall in the dust of the earth. He was upright, but he got cursed. Every time you get cursed, you go. Come on, y'all. When stuff is messed up, you go. Where are you headed? Amen. Are things going up or are they going?
Down.
God cursed. So from that point on, he crawled. But the problem wasn't the devil, it wasn't the serpent, it was the influence, which was the devil. Amen? Watch your influences. So you can't walk around in ungodly counsel. Amen? Like, I love all my family, all down south and everywhere else, but when I have to make a decision, I can't use their counsel if it's ungodly.
Amen.
Mom, dad, doesn't make a difference. I want to go to heaven. I will not disrespect them, but I don't listen to them. I listen to their counsel, I just don't act on it. Amen. Blessed are the men that walk not in the counsel of ungodly, nor what is your company? Standing in the way of, nor sitteth in the, but his is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he. Lord have mercy. What are we meditating on day and night? The it, the this, the that, the mess. Amen. We need to get back in God. Day and night. And when you do that, you shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. Amen. What is your season? What's happening? Are things getting better or are they getting worse as we stand? Are things getting better or are they getting worse? His leaf also shall not. Why? Because I'm meditating on his law day and night. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth
shall
prosper. S-H-A-L-L means there's no doubt. There's no fighting it. There's nothing you can do to decide differently. It's going to prosper. If you meditate on God's law, when? Somebody said, my life, my situation seems like it's going from bad to worse. What are you focusing on? What are you meditating on? What are you meditating on this morning when you're eyes up? What are you thinking about at night when you go to bed? What are you focusing on throughout the day? Blessed is the man that meditates on his law when? Day and night. We need to reorient our way of thinking. We need to work on our communication. And we need to hear from God. As the elders and the ministers come forward, we need to hear from God. Tonight, let's purpose. I will not engage anything that's contrary to God. I don't care who it is or where it's coming from. I will not meditate on it. I will not be dominated or controlled by influences. If they are godly, if it's sinful, I will not allow that influence to dominate me. I don't care how good of a friend it is. I have to make a choice. Amen. I heard somebody say, for God I live. For God I die. Poor communication, the Bible we learned last week, corrupt good manners. It will corrupt you. peace. Communication from God will lead you to eternal life. Anything else will take you away from God. Tonight, this purpose